coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. And HagmanStore.com, of course, if you'd like some coffee. Hey, some coffee. Good coffee. Detective's Choice and other blends as well. Detective's Choice is hypercaffeinated. And also, and I'm going to thank the folks out there for making In the Dark of Night the equivalent of a bestseller. We're now in 11 countries, thousands of books sold, and also on Amazon and Kindle. All right. So, and if you've read it, please leave an honest rating and review on Amazon. It's In the Dark of Night, Blood of the Innocent, paperback and Kindle. It's, I don't know, 107 or so reviews right now in climbing, and it's carrying about a 4.8 rating. So it's good. It has to do with, obviously, the background into investigations into human and child sex trafficking, which brings me to point number two. Point number two is this. I ask for everyone out there to please pray for Russ Dizdar, his team, and others, if you don't mind, us included, because we are this weekend and for the past couple of weeks, several weeks, months, we've been involved in some pretty heavy-duty investigations involving just that. All right, so this weekend it's going to ramp up into a different level of investigation, and I will officially have less or as much as little sleep as Steve Quayle has. How's that? Steve Quayle, the guy who never sleeps, is on with me right now. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Before I get to Steve, I'm going to lay the foundation of this show. You know, Steve sent me a headline or a suggestion for a headline, and I so agree with this. No need to hide the genocide. Scared to death by their lies. Now, if you think about that title, okay, it really, there's an impact there. There's a sideways impact with that title. And folks, you can understand that. I'm not going to get into the explanation of that, but it's a very good title for today. About 25 years ago, a quarter century ago, Steve Quayle was talking about the interaction between humans and machines, AI, artificial intelligence. The more we find out about the coronavirus, the Communist Chinese Party virus, SARS-CoV-2, the Fauci jab, the jab, the vaccine that's not really a vaccine but a genetic modifying jab juice. And the more we find out about graphene oxide, the fact that, yes, graphene oxide is in the inoculation or in this juice, I should say. But it's not listed on the ingredient sheet because it's a protected ingredient by patent. Okay, it's a secret, a patent secret. But graphene oxide is poisonous to humans. It's a main ingredient in hydrogel, something that Steve Quayle talked about again numerous years ago. And what hydrogel does, it provides an interface between the human body and AI. For example, the human body, and I'm just going to toss this out there, 5G, or the Internet of Things. And it's in the form of a pegylated lipid nanoparticle. That's what this is. And it can be traced back to, guess where? China, Sinopeg, the company called Sinopeg, S-N-I-O-P-E-G. Watch this. This is a clip of a Pfizer executive talking with, this is Karen Kingston, talking with this gentleman. I want to thank him for allowing, me to use this, Stu Peters at StuPeters.tv. All right. Watch this. We're going to start it mid conversation, but you'll get the idea here in just a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Put every other ingredient on the patent with the exception of the standalone graphene oxide. Why would they not put that on there?
I would say the number one reason is because it's poisonous to humans and well known that it's poisonous to humans.
Okay.
All yeah. Right. And the other reason is because it is the main ingredient in hydrogel, which is the liquid, you know, AI template that's used for some of Elon Musk's, you know, research and Bill Gates as far as that creating an interface between humans and, you know, the internet.
So there is a legitimate theory that these shots are actually designed to create some sort of connectivity between humans, 5G, whatever this is, controlling your thoughts, your memories, all of these things. I mean, those are realistic and plausible possibilities.
That's not possible with this round. They rushed this thing out. They're just seeing, you know, how much they can put into people before they die, I think, honestly.
So this is a dose-finding study. Basically a live dose finding study, and those that are dying or multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barré, these tremors, the magnetism, all these things.
Well, remember, we're supposed to get boosters every 6 months. So we're going to get graphene oxide boosters every 6 months to see how much we can build up in the system. We'll go through this because when you see the nations that are being injected, we're the guinea pigs, you know, and so once they perfect this technology, I think there's a second plan. I actually am not super comfortable talking about this stuff because I don't like to give opinions on things, you know, and hypothesize. So I'd rather just stick to the data, if that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you take a look at chemical and engineering news, there's these non-peer-reviewed journals. We call them rags in the industry. Every industry has it. And it's basically, you know, the whales of the industry, the who's who, and they just kind of brag about what they're doing. So this article talks about the pegylated lipid nanoparticles that are in all the COVID-19 vaccines. And there's four lipids, and I'll go over this. So the first lipid is cholesterol. And that's, our body loves cholesterol. It makes it go through the blood. Then there is a phospholipid. The phospholipid adheres to the cell membrane. So that allows permeability to enter the cell membrane. There's an ionizable lipid. So that gives it a positive ionic charge to help penetrate the mRNA to get into the cell. And then there's the pegylated lipid. And so the reason why they created these is because mRNA is very unstable, whether it's synthetic or zoonic, which means it's from an animal, you know, or human, it's very unstable. 80-degree weather kills it. Sunlight kills it. If you breathe on it, it dies. I mean, and the researchers all say this. It rarely gets past the nasopharynx area of any healthy individual. It's just, you know, your saliva kills it. It cannot survive on its own. So it needed this kind of biosphere that they created for it. And that's why we have these four lipids, and then they put the graphene oxide. Now, what's interesting about the graphene oxide is that it's 4,000 times stronger than titanium and can withstand 1,700 degree Fahrenheit temperature. So we took this very unstable virus, single helix virus, and we made it indestructible, they made it indestructible. So the pegylated lipids, if you take a look, it's PEG, P-E-G. They're made by a company called Sinopeg, which is S-N-O, you know, P-E-G, and they're located in China. Now, how did I find this out? Well, if you take a look at the Pfizer EUA filing, they list the four lipids. They have two lipids, each of which have four lipids in them in there. And so does Moderna. And Moderna's is called it's called a material safety data sheet. This is what they use in industrial products. And it has a CAS number, and theirs is SM102 for Moderna. And then if you go to Pfizer's filing with the UK, the two lipids that are in there are called ALC0315 and ALC0159. So when I Googled MSDS-CAS, don't ask how I know all this information, and I put in some of those numbers, I found Sinopeg. I didn't find Sinopeg by Googling Sinopeg. I literally put in the MSDS number. And so if you go to the website, you'll see the, you know, extremely long, like, I don't know, 100 alphanumeric name of each of these lipids. And you'll see it under a tab called COVID-19 excipients. And it says polyethylene glycol PEG 2000, right? And then here you'll see it's ALC0159, and this company is located in China. And then if you pull from the patent, from the Moderna patent, they list out all the different polyethylene glycol 200, PEG 200, PEG 2000, and you will find those listed under the COVID-19 excipients in Sinopeg. So it's right there. It's being manufactured in China. And so there's other vaccines that are mRNA vaccines that are not being sold in the United States. You can find those excipients here too. by the CAS number, the Material Safety Data Sheet CAS number. And so if you want to know what is graphene, you know, what they explain here on Cinepeg is it is the core shell structured polyethylene glycol functionalized graphene for energy storage polymer dielectrics, combined mechanical and dielectric performances. So what that means is that graphene is a conductor, it can be a conductor of electricity. If it has a positive charge, and this is in all the, some of the studies from the NIH and Moderna and stuff, if graphene gets a positive charge, it annihilates anything it comes in contact with. Right now, they're not charged, they're neutralized. You're like, well, how does it have a positive charge to get into the cell? That's that other lipid, that ionizable lipid that gives it the positive charge for cell penetration, but these currently are not, they're neutral. They have a neutral field. But if they are, if there is an electromagnetic field that activates a positive charge, potentially there will be damage and potentially death, depending on where these nanoparticles ended up
in
the body and how much of them.
You can go ahead and stop that, folks. The entire video is going to be linked at in the episode description at HagmanReport.com. That's StuPeters.tv. Thank you, StuPeters.tv, for allowing us to use that. With me now is Steve Quayle, who basically said the same thing, except about a quarter of a century ago. And they're lying to us. Everyone, the government, the bureaucrats, the elite, they're lying to us. And we are embracing that lie. We as a population, not you and me, but as a population in general, are embracing that lie. Steve, how are you doing, sir?
Good, Doug. And I'm glad you played that. Because again, ladies and gentlemen, abandon all science, ye who believe a lie. I mean, I'm not trying to rewrite Pilgrim's Progress, but abandon all true science, they that believe a lie. And I'm going to start out with a statement, because what Doug read as a title for this program today, I said this, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong. Never in the history of the world have so many embraced their own demise by listening to Satan and all his minions and their assorted lies. Now, I want to take you to a quote by Bill Casey, former director of the CIA. And a lot of people will understand this. We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. Now, also, Alexander Solzhenitsyn made this statement. In our country, the lie has become not just a moral category, but a pillar of the state. Doug, that's what's happening in the United States. We absolutely embrace the lie. We run from the truth of God's word. And people, you're cooperating in your own demise. And that's the thing I think that's really problematic right now. Because, again, if people cannot understand that we're at the most crisis point in history, that Jesus himself, now I'm going to address all Christians, Jesus himself said if the days weren't shortened, there would be no flesh left alive. What this is a Frankenstein novel written by Mary Shelley that basically has been absorbed into our bodies by actually injected into our bodies. That, Doug, the bottom line in all this, and you know, I just want to cut through all the stuff. The bottom line is the destruction of the human race, the destruction of Adam and Eve's offspring, which we are, the total annihilation of humanity. And Jesus himself said, and he's not a liar, he said, and if it were possible, there'd be no flesh left alive. Yet, for the sake of the elect, those who come to know Jesus, those days are being shortened. And ladies and gentlemen, just look back 1 year. Look where the year go. Look back 2 years. And Doug, you and I can look back, good night, almost 19 years, and go, where did all the time go?
Where'd it go?
And here's something it's interesting that I think is really important. This is by William Bloom, a State Department employee. And I want to make this clear. No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you can imagine. Now, why would people who are Christians or claimants, why would they embrace a lie that would accelerate their exit from the plant. In other words, accelerate the time they die. Why would preachers in the pulpit say, if they listen to Quayle, this just came to me in an email, you know, that's that paranoid conspiracy. There's no truth to it. The guy said, but wait a minute. What about the words of Jesus? What about prophecy? Why, Mr. Pastor, you not teach prophecy? Well, you're going to love this. We just want to focus on the love of God. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if Jesus, and not if, as Jesus is the sole focus of Christianity, why? And Doug, you know this. Why have so many Christians embraced the lie? And I will tell you why. Because they want to go on living in this world as it is. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God says time's up. Now, whether he uses a Russian weather control modification going on in the Arctic and absolutely putting a heat balloon over the Pacific Northwest, whether the weather warfare between Russia and China is ongoing over the massive amount of flooding and the three dams that have broken in China. China's got literally millions of their livestock slaughtered and flooding, and people don't even know that's going on. So, Doug, I think the thing that is problematic is that, and I'm going to say this, claimants to being Christians don't want to be troubled with facts. They want to go on feelings. By the way, that song, Feelings, I just couldn't get, I hated that song.
I'm going to start singing it to you now, brother.
Yeah, don't sing it to me, man, or I'll, you know, I'll basically have a, I guess I'd have a hurl camera, okay? But the point is that just like the doctor was saying, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're familiar with science fiction films, I actually got degrees in filmmaking from, you know, I actually got them. But the thing is, we had to watch the history of film. Marshall McLuhan came along and said, the media is the message. Most people think, well, the media, television, radio, internet is a message. It's the message itself. It's the telepresence that Orwell warned about. And now everybody, Doug, is transfixed on the lies that come out of MSATM. And I want to make it clear. MSATM, my word, mainstream accessories to murder. Because again, don't confuse me with the truth. My mind is already made up. So what entity, and I want to point it just, you know, I believe you go to the root of the problem, okay? What entity wants a destruction of all humanity? That Jesus himself declared that if he didn't intervene, there'd be no flesh left alive. And obviously the answer is the prince of lies, the father of lies, the prince of darkness, Satan, who once was known as Lucifer. But yet to those who worship him and go and pay obeisance to him, and I'm telling you what, Satan has an earthly throne, and everybody that heads to Antarctica that goes there to pay allegiance to their little L, Lord Lucifer, knows exactly what's going on. And it's not the devil on an Underwood deviled hand commercial or on a new, Satan swiping a dating site for Earth females. By the way, that's a Genesis 6 thing right there, and I don't think many people picked it up. But you're talking about a being that was created to reflect the glory of God, who took that glory upon himself and took one third of the angels in heaven with him. That's why the Genesis 6 narrative is so important, because that's what the whole fallen angels did. They inserted themselves. They had sex with, females. By the way, fallen angels are not giants, two different words. And they could basically take on the shape and form of a standard human and all the plumbing associated with it. But then by that genetic hybridization of fallen angels. Now, listen, this is the whole world's mythology. This is the whole world's reference. And we're, right now we're watching it on Ancient Aliens and all the different alien shows. There are people that believe in panspermia. That just simply means that there is no God, Jesus did not come to save us, and that the aliens seeded their DNA, you know, and voila, we, you know, evolved out of the mud. That couldn't be further than nonsense. And now there's a shift away. There's a shift away. I think, I don't know if there's 1.3, 1.5 billion Catholics, but the Catholic Church has written papers, some of the most foundationally important papers, saying that since God created all things and aliens would be in the category of all things, then they're subject to God's redemption. Well, that's just simply not true, because the Bible says that Jesus didn't die for the angels that sinned. If I could open the veil for all of the Hagman viewers today, it would just be to this, to let you see how much in the heavenlies is affecting you and me today. And Doug, this is something that's really important that people understand. We're at a point now, we can't turn back. And I want to say something, and I want to say it very clearly. The prophetic utterances of today are so far out of the way, because all prophecies comfort, exhort, and edify. And people will not live by every mouth of every person with new revelation. I'll give you a good example, the Trump prophecies. And I got no axe to grind with a guy that the book was written about. I won't even use his name. I have no axe to grind with people that speak encouraging words, but they better be careful, because if they claim to be a prophet or a prophetess, as so many do, then they've got to own their stuff, because if they're wrong, they're wrong. Excuse me, President Trump wasn't inaugurated on January 6th. Then the story came out, well, this is going to happen. Let me make it clear. I believe that President Trump was placed into office, and God allows everything. And the Bible says God sets up the basis of men over the kingdoms of men. In other words, a nation such as ours, in its rebellion against God, in its difficulty, we had 4 years. But during that 4 years, he could have, he should have, and he didn't. And look, this isn't a criticism of him. It's just I'm telling people, if your hope is in the return of a man, you're missing it. And again, the prophecies, one right after another, piled on. Then they started changing the prophecies. The Lord's word says, behold, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. So God doesn't say, well, maybe I'll put Trump in. Nah, maybe I'll take him out. Blah, blah, blah. That's how the people of God represent that whole thing to the world. The people of God who claim to be his people must realize that the Bible's very explicit when God says his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I also said, and Doug, I don't know how many times you have a better memory than I do on this, but how many times had I said, even before President Trump became elected president, I said that before God allows the Russians and Chinese to destroy the United States, he's going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people, the people's sins before a holy God. The best definition of sin I know is insanity. We're contrasted as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pretty much rejected the word Christendom, maybe unless it's spelled, and this is no disparaging to Jesus, but you know, we need to remember, we're to be followers of Jesus. Now, everybody's seeing all the stories about the UN vaccination camps or the unvaxxed camps. Worldwide, we're seeing the announcement that people who don't take the vaccine are going to be sequestered. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the biggest Jewish press, and I'm not anti-Jew, I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you, they have embraced Dr. Mengele's madness, the angel of death. They're vaccinating everybody. I think they're on their third vaccine, including their children. What's the difference between killing them and the entire history? What's the difference in putting them in the gas chambers of Zyklon B or in us? Listen, it used to be people went into the gas chambers to be killed. Now they're accepting the injection. That's why he came up with that statement. Look, it's true. Shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, they want you dead. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't call us conspiracy theorists. You can call us this. You can call us conspiracy realists. Because again, Doug, I want to make everything clear today. And I prayed before I came on with you. God, help me to make it clear. Don't keep me on, don't let me go on rabbit tracks. And God doesn't keep me there. So keep me clear, Lord, on straight. But people have got to understand that we are being told that they're going to kill us. We're being told that there are camps that are going to kill us. And today in this show, I'll tell you what I just found out about the roadblocks that are going to be initiated. And true, ladies and gentlemen, you see magnets, spoons, whatever. People say, well, that's just a cheap Amazon trick. It isn't an Amazon trick when it happens to you. It isn't an Amazon trick when, and that was a light bulb, I guess, you know, that some magicians use. But this is beyond that. What you're talking about is an electromagnetic field with the hydrogel and the graphene and the absolute takeover of the human body. Now, that's why 5G is so important. 5G is important, but what's even worse than that is 6G. And 6G is already in the making, and it's called the Genesis 6 network. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't make that up. The Finns, I think Finland's, or I think it was the Finnish development group that came up with that name. And actually, Tracy Yates is the only guy I know that ever brought that to the attention. That's his information. And when he said 6G Genesis, I figured it out. It's the entire control network. And when you see, and Doug, you've seen the picture of the cell phone radiating its RF and the actual changing of the graphene and the hydrogel. You've seen that on the computer, right?
Yes.
Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. Put it into the context, those of you who've seen the X-Files movie and the black goo that literally assimilated when you stood in it and turned the person into an alien. So I'm not saying that that's it, but what the high, an alien, but I'm talking about we are being turned into something other than humans. We're being turned into transhumanists. And the question that everybody's been fighting is why would Christians who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and if they're true Bible-believing Jesus blood-washed Christians, why would they want to destroy the temple of God? Because the Bible says that God has a real problem that, you know, with people destroying the temple. Yet our body's the temple. It isn't in Jerusalem. It isn't in Salt Lake City. It isn't in your local AG building, citadel, assembly of God. It isn't the church of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's what the devil's doing. He's mocking God himself. He, literally, the devil's mocking God, saying, there you go, God. There's your temples. Look at what I'm doing to them. And people say, well, why won't God stop this mess? Why did you let it begin in the first place? When they ask me that, that's what I ask people. I said, did it ever dawn on you by your silence over the infant murder and slaughter in the womb and child sacrifice that those would be the very people that could deliver you and I? Yet, you know, we in our arrogance just thought, oh, we can do it. What's 100 million? By the way, people have 60 million, 70 million. I know the guys that what I can say is live in the world of stuff that most people can't say. And they said, Steve, the total is 100 million. Okay, so one third of the United States population, pretty much close to a third, let's say, has been wiped out. And now with all of the vaccination, remember, Doug, they don't want to settle for 70%. They want to settle for 100%. So it will be mildly coercive. Hi, I'm here from the local vaccination program. We're just making sure, following up, you know, we want you to do your duty. But how dumb will people be? For $100, you can die early. Gee, that's a deal. Try and pay your mortician for $100. Or you can draw. You can take a drawing for $10,000. Put whatever numbers on it. We have been mind controlled. As Bill Casey said, we are totally now, and I'm going to say this, if we're not under the mercy of God, the devil shows no mercy, and we are under the total demonic control as a nation. As you know, Doug, and this is pretty important, still working on the Glyptionary Project, taking all the world's symbols, all the world's languages, running them through supercomputers, team of 15 guys, and the fallen angels, one of the latest things, and these are going to be made public to those who, you know, obviously want to even care about this stuff. I think you should. One of the most recent discourses between the fallen angels amongst themselves is talking, did you ever believe, this is a literal statement, did you ever believe it would be this easy to kill the human race? Now, obviously, God knows that. And obviously, people, I don't believe that fallen angel stuff. You took the jab, right? Oh, yes, because my Christian tea party, we were just all praying we would get to take it first. Insanity knows no bounds. And I think it's important that people understand, whether you believe it or not, and look, I have people say, oh, you're so scary. Would you rather know the truth or end up on a white bus headed to a camp? And when you go on the highways, I better go there right now. The plan is this. I asked a certain individual who's seen the plan for the pickup of people on the roads, especially the highways. Anybody who hasn't been vaccinated, they have a scanner right now, by the way, to tell you've been vaccinated or not. You can argue about the technology, but it exists. Will be allowed to pass, but anybody that doesn't will be taken to isolation camps for their own good. A husband and a wife driving, two kids, three kids, whatever in the back seat, and all of a sudden you see this roadblock. For miles in front of you, for miles in the rearview mirror, you turn around, what's happening? Traffic's come to a standstill. And then you see the military coming and being, what would you say, like on a traffic stop or DUI stop, you know, going into these different lanes. The scanners, they come. I asked this source, I said, what happens to the people that try and bribe the guards? He said, oh, Steve, they thought of that too. All of the guards have been told if they take a bribe, that they will be monitored overhead and they'll be shot on the spot. That's what I was told, Doug. That even the checkpoints will be monitored by drones. And I thought, okay, you know, I got close to 700 horsepower, 600 and some horsepower. I'm going to outrun them. That's what I thought. He said, Steve, you remember your stories about Hellfire missiles? They will intentionally take out anybody that tries to run the roadblocks. Now, I'm not saying this to scare anybody. And then I thought, how can I get 300 more horsepower? Just kidding. You can't outrun a Hellfire missile. But God can rebuke it in Jesus' name. But here's the thing, Doug. Like sheep led to the slaughter. And I guess that's what I think this purpose of your platform has been, to try and keep the sheep from going into an early, you know, exit if God has plans for them. But whose report will we believe? Will we believe the word of the Lord? You know, I shall live and not die and declare the words of the Lord, you know, works of the Lord. The thing is that so many pastors are selling out their congregations. They're putting their sheep on the altars, literally through the clergy response team. And by the way, when I started talking about that, I don't know if we did it last week or the week before, all hell broke loose in certain quarters.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, all hell broke loose in certain quarters. How do I know? Because I heard from the certain quarters. And they said, boy, do they want to keep that covered up? And then I said, and you heard it, I think I said it on your program, I said, there's 231,000 pastors and elders and all that that are in on this. That's what the numbers say. Then isn't it interesting? There's 256,000 guillotines around the country. And ladies and gentlemen, Doug has seen the official numbers gleaned from their own reports of where they're at. Is that not an accurate statement?
That's an accurate statement, all right.
And so have others. So isn't it interesting? What happens if the pastors go first? What happens if they think they're going to buy their lives at the expense of their flock? What happens if there's the first? Would you trust someone who would betray a congregation of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 300, 500? I wouldn't. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the plan is. The plan, and Jesus said, if he didn't intervene and shorten the days of the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. Doug, we're watching right now record-breaking, historic record-breaking floods, earthquakes, water depletion, volcanoes. We're seeing everything coming into play right now. And people say, well, that didn't happen yet, Krakatoa or Tambora. I said, just wait. The purpose of understanding the different protocols for extinction, they all work together. The devil doesn't just flip a coin and say, A, we're going to get them with famine, B, we're going to get them with disease. It's all of the above. And ladies and gentlemen, the entire world is deceived and under his power. You don't believe that? That it's under Satan's power? Jesus said, the whole world lies in the evil one. And Jesus defeated Satan, but the people of God haven't figured that one out yet because they don't even know there's such a thing as spiritual authority. But they don't even understand. They don't understand the lateness of the hour, the madness of the moment. The sinister nature of the second. When you get a villain out of a basic Star Wars film, Klaus Schwab, dressed as, you know, Darth Vader without his helmet on and talking about the global reset. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just skip through all the associated fog or camouflage. That word is nothing more than the New World Order under Lucifer's control, dominion, and complete takeover of the world that we know. Now, how do I know that? Well, first of all of these entities that are out there, the most powerful political figures of all the world's leadership, have what I would call a supernatural presence controlling them. And these, the fallen angels, we're told in the Bible, can take on the form of man. You say, well, that's just a human being. Not if God stripped his earth suit in front of you. The point is that this evil has been building and building and building since the Garden of Eden. We're told in the book of Revelation. And Doug, you know why most pastors, maybe even 75% of pastors, won't deal with the book of Revelation? Because, number one, first and foremost, I believe it's fear. Second, it's a monetary issue. Well, I can't have my people prepping, or who's going to pay my salary? Number three, well, I went into this to retire and live in an old pastor's home. Well, I got to tell you something. It isn't going to play out that way. And then you and I have seen some of the most unusual attacks from people that claim to be Christians, and they claim, and somehow we sit around, we lie, we make up stuff, we scare people. Well, I couldn't tell you that the Defense Department could do a better job. And oh, wait, by the way, some of those people are artificial constructs. And so what an artificial construct is just something that is designed with an AI program to go out and scan. For instance, Doug, there's an AI program in play right now to go out and find whatever anybody says evil about you, me, or whoever they want to speak evil of. Then they begin to build artificially the arguments in favor of that.
We see that happening. We see it happening on social networking, Steve. I didn't mean to overtalk you, but.
Yeah, no. But go ahead. That's your thing. Go ahead. I'll take a drink.
Yeah. And this is very interesting. So if, for example, you come out against homosexuality, for example, which, you know, you really can't do it on social networking or you'll get banned. But if you happen to get through that maze of roadblocks, there are AI programs that will attack you. Okay. Now on the flip side of that, if you, for example, well, like Steve said, if you, start beating on whether it be Steve, myself, or anyone else in the alternative media, or even those people who stand against certain things or stand up for certain things, the AI will use, I don't know what the algorithm is. I don't know what triggers it, but it is based on linguistic programming. So it'll pick up on certain words and even the tone or intonation, I suppose, of the sentences typed, and then it'll pile on. And if you look very closely, look at the, for example, on Twitter, look at the number of followers. Some of the biggest detractors have, and it's usually in the single or double digits. Once in a while, it's in the lower three digits, but never is it beyond that. And that should tell you a lot. Okay. Now the followers are artificial. The followings are artificial as well as the tweets themselves or the messages themselves are, robotically placed in this conversational thread. So yes, it is a takedown by AI, I suppose, piling on by AI. And I think some of that, Steve, I was looking at some of the comments, associated with videos. And I think some even are in the comments, AI people or AI entities in the comment section, if that makes any sense whatsoever, but it's AI driven at the very least.
And I'm on record as saying AI stands for alien intelligence. Alien, I do not mean from the planet Mars, Venus, or anything. I'm talking about alien, foreign to, as in fallen angels. Again, ladies and gentlemen, all of mythology. Look, I've spent however many years on studying all this stuff and writing books and researching and having some amazing people's works to draw from, giving credit to whom credit is due. But the point that most people don't understand, Doug, is there's a war against us as human beings. There's a war against human reproduction. Now we see pregnant women basically miscarrying. We see old women who have passed the age of their cycle, menses, coming into menses. Well, I don't think that's cool at 75, and neither would they. We're seeing men, sperm count, you know, just pretty much non-existent. We're seeing everything shrinking. I'll just leave it at that. The bottom line is human reproduction is, and Satan is sinisterly wicked, and what he's doing is killing the firstborn. And I want to make this clear. In Moses' day, and even when Jesus was born, they wanted to kill the firstborn. Satan in these last times is going to make sure there are neverborns. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Rachel wept for her children, for they were not. Obviously, you know, had it not been for the angel of the Lord ministering to Joseph and Mary to take Jesus down into Egypt to spare his life, we wouldn't have a Savior. And obviously, ladies and gentlemen, God is going to have a remnant. I don't know how many people are in the remnant. I just know this. I know how many people they want to kill. We can speak against, we can declare against, we can take our spiritual authority against, canceling all assignments against each other. And I think that we better start fighting for the faith. How about if you even did a cartoon of Muhammad, that all of the world of Islam would get riled, but we just let everything slide against our Lord and Savior. We do, except brave women usually that go into a museum and smash an exhibit that's denigrating to Jesus Christ. Or we put up, those of you who are Catholics, you put up with what the entity who is now the Pope, who's going to be taken out of the way, you know, his day is called. And this is something people need to understand. You can be given the world by the devil, but he comes and he extracts his due. Good example of that. Look at Hollywood, Hellywood. Look at all the people that were the megastars. They can't even get parts now. I mean, old Hollywood is dead. Barry Diller, I think, said that. And he's a big Hollywood mogul. Things are changing. So those who swore allegiance to Satan, whether they're on a sitcom, and they all pledged, hail Satan, or all of that, look at what's happening. They're paying their dues. They're, if you will, they're fake up. Now, what I'm going to say with fake up, okay? That's the persona. That's their masquerade. And I'm not just talking about makeup. I'm talking about the fake up, the persona. They played so many different characters that the real them is being lost. And when it starts to melt, you know, just like the Raiders of the Lost Ark scene, you know, in the first Raiders Lost Ark scene, where the Nazi, you know, SS guy, his whole face melts off when he sees the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. God is unmasking all of it. So, Doug, is it a diversion? Let me ask you this. Is it a diversion to keep saying the same Q anonymous stuff, the same Nisara nonsense, the same any day now, you know, this, and this? And can I be honest with you? I don't know how Christians can keep, how should I say that? How they can keep hoping and hope in a man, yet claiming that Jesus and his words in the book of Revelation or Matthew 24 or Luke 21 are somehow not valid for the day. It's interesting because I was in a restaurant. I don't hear well, but this guy was so loud I could hear. And I mean, that's how loud it was. And it's got to be loud. And he was talking to this guy that was, I think, some kind of a business partner. By the way, I don't listen in to conversations unless I can't avoid them, you know. The point is that this guy, this older farmer in Bozeman, we're in a restaurant, and he said this to this guy. He said, you know, they were both talking about how things have gotten crummy. He talked to the older man, looked across the table. I was sitting behind them both, and said, you know we're in the end times, don't you? You know what the end times are? The guy said, I have no idea. Then the older man said, do you even care about the end times? The guy said, not really.
Wow.
That's the attitude, okay? And for once, I wish I had those ears all the time. But the point is that That's the attitude. So what? Well, let me tell you why so what. Your eternal destination is at stake. The ability to feed your family is at stake. The pictures we used to see of starving African kids with their bellies bloated, we're going to see that. And this is the thing I don't know how to articulate. I don't. I'm at a complete loss, and I pray. If Jesus, you said, there's never been a time like it, nor would be again. Except the days be shortened for the last day. How can I put that into a context that people can even relate to? Because Jesus basically is saying, if you know history, man, there's some bloody stuff there. If you know history, the cruelty, the absolute hatred for humanity. And yet, Jesus is saying there's never been anything like it, nor would be again. Now, I've heard a pastor say, I turned Steve off. We used to be friends because he preaches fear. I preached Jesus crucified to more people around the world, resurrected, and had more. Look, this is just, and I'm sharing this. Thank you all. I love you all. Sending me birthday cards saying, thank you, Steve. Thank you. My life turned around by listening to you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And this is by Barbara. Barbara, I want you to know. And I read everything that people send to me in a single sheet, two sheets at max. I don't read 50-page epistles, okay, or mimeograph, you know. But anyway, here's people that say, you know, you brought me back to the Lord. That's all I care about. The thing is, I came to know Jesus through you. That's what it's all about. So here's what I'm trying to say in all this. This isn't about Doug and I. And again, all this, I want you to know what I do with this. I take it and I say, Lord, thank you so much that you have let me be a conduit to all of these people's lives. I love this one. They know, obviously, I love the elephant. This is probably, maybe my calling is to be the second Noah. Not really. But I think the thing that's critical is this, is she said, have a wild and happy birthday. Someone who understands my nature, blessings to you, Barbara. And they go on and on. So I want you to know, Doug, we have some amazing people that love you, that love me.
If you don't mind, let me stop right here because usually what you showed about the mail, we get a lot of mail as well. And I do read everything that is sent to us. Folks, please understand that. I can't respond to everyone, but I do read like Steve does. And the reason I want to stop you here is because I wanted to really break out both Eric and I in wishing you a happy birthday. I was going to do that earlier. I didn't. I'm glad you brought that up, folks. Steve Quayle, my good friend, his birthday is coming up. I'm not going to give away the date, but it's coming up. It's a great, you know, he's a great man, and I want to thank him because all in all, it was really Steve and Pastor Langford who really put me on the path for salvation. And Steve, I want to thank you for that because otherwise I would not be where I am today in terms of my walk in my faith. And it, just like every card that you receive where someone says that to you, I want to state publicly it's because of you and what you said, how you said it, how you've taught that has brought me to my point in my faith. And I want to thank you publicly for that and happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And thank you all. And again, Doug, I've got to tell you something. I know you know this too. I've never been, I would say this, presented with so much love. You know, I know you and I have to deal with, you know, the Klingons, the morons, and the, you know, everything that wants to take us down and out. But there are some people, and I want to share this with you. I have never sensed the spirit of gratefulness. I've never sensed a spirit of acceptance. I've never experienced the, what I would say, the true fellowship as the believers that everybody's looking for the same thing. We want reality-based relationships with Jesus as the center because I'm saying, Lord, how am I going to get along with all these people in heaven? I got junk in my life. They got junk in their life. And remember, the minute we leave our body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, who, by the way, wasn't water baptized. I believe in water baptism. But while this day you will be with me in paradise. All the thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Faith. the Roman centurion said, you just speak the word, Lord, and I know my servant will be healed. That's the kind of faith, Doug, we need. But faith works by love. He didn't say, so God so wanted to hammer the devil that he gave his only begotten son so that his people could go to war with each other. And again, the question is, and here's my fault. His people, who claim to be his people, are not his people, or else Jesus wouldn't say. Many will come to me in those days saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? And Jesus will say, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness. I never knew you. The most important statement a man can make is that I am known of the living God, and I know the living God. It's one thing to say, yeah, I know Jesus haphazardly, or, yeah, the big guy in this, and I don't say this, and I'm going to tell you, nothing infuriates me more than when people will say stuff like this, well, the big guy in the sky, okay? And I won't even go into any more of that stuff. And I say, brother, sister, if you are, do you really believe that the angels in heaven who fall down their face before the living God saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come, do you think they just talk to each other and go, the big guy in the sky? The same thing with Jesus. Jesus calls us friend, but he's our Lord and Savior. Doug, I know this. You know this. We talk about this off the air. One by one, they're going to pick us off. One by one, they're going to kill our cell phones. One by one. And I'm praying literally that the scriptures come alive. That one scripture I would say, you would say, we would say, we'll talk about the stuff. But there's so many voices, including mine. But I can tell you this, being on talk radio for over a quarter of a century, you know, and a year, the one thing that I have always tried to do is tell people, follow Jesus and take it to the Lord in prayer. Well, I don't even believe in Jesus. Well, then pray a prayer. Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. You know, if you're honest, it happens. It doesn't come from shaking your fist at heaven. It doesn't come from being belligerent to try and excuse your sin. It doesn't come by anything except saying, God, an honest heart is an honest heart. But a dishonest heart, you can say all the religious terminology and it won't matter. Jesus, the Bible says, this people draws near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. And this is why, Doug, it's so critical. And the last moments of the time we now have before everything locks down, shuts up and shuts down, for people to have what I would call a biblical reality check and a transformational encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know people that claim to be religious. I'm spiritual. You know Jesus? No, but I'm spiritual. Okay? Would you say a demon spiritual because it's an evil spirit? Well, that's not what I mean. I'm not evil. I'm a good person. I got to tell you, the Bible says there's none good. Well, what does the Bible know? And before the argument or the conversation that turns into an argument is over, this person's telling you, you know, they're not telling you, they're showing you that statement about, oh, I've got a good heart. Are you kidding me? You know, the point is this. We can't save ourselves. The Christians, and I don't know, I'm asking the Lord this right now, the claimants of Christianity, I'm saying, God, will you help me to understand so I can articulate it to your people how you see your body? Not that you love them, but those who are willingly embracing an early demise, they won't read the word, but they'll believe the devil's lies. Tell me, Lord, help me to understand. Expand my context. I think people, Doug, need to do this. They need to pray that God will expand their context of understanding. Look, people love the Lord. That's between them and the Lord. But the scripture does say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You and I have both had false friends. We've had false employees. We've had people that smile at us one minute and then behind our back, it goes in. That's why I say to everybody, ladies and gentlemen, never accept somebody saying they're behind you. Say, come up right alongside me and walk beside me. Walk beside me. It's the safest way. And if a friend is not willing to walk alongside you, I'll make it simple. They're not friends, and how can two agree? How can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, you know that. So where are we at right now? Okay, I want to share some things with the lateness of the hour. Imagine, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, the entire West Coast without power and drinking water. If you look at the four main sources of water, and I'm talking the main sources of fresh water for California, it's Lake Shasta, the Oroville Dam Lake, and I forget the name of that, the Lake Mead in Las Vegas, you know, in Nevada, and obviously Lake Powell in Arizona, the desert Southwest, and Arizona, it's in Utah. The bottom line is that there's so little water. The true numbers are not what you see the numbers at. They'll say that Lake Powell or Lake Mead are down to 33 to 36%. Look at the recent photographs. You know how tall at least the Hoover Dam is. You can take pictures from last year or the year before that are taken from the same or compare photographs, and they're getting down into what I would call where they got to shut the water off and shut the power off. And ladies and gentlemen, how are you going to get 40 million people drinking water when there's no power? How are you going to do it? And see, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, I tease about it. Two movies are my favorites. Kurt Russell, Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. And the bottom line is that already, Doug, there are secret agreements between governors. Doesn't mean all of them. But when things get bad, the states that have water don't want to deal with 20 million, what would you say, panicked immigrants. We're watching in Bozeman, Montana, and Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Jackson Hole, Wyoming, more than Bozeman, but Jackson Hole, Wyoming, 60,000 people a day. You can look up the population, Jackson. It's a very small town.
How's that even possible? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, and pardon me for asking this question, but how's that possible?
Yellowstone Park has the main road. The southern exit goes right out through Jackson Hole. Jackson Hole has two other main highways coming in, and people, you know, Jackson's a beautiful place.
Right.
But the whole issue is, Doug, you cannot sustain that. No. You can't feed them, not enough gas. And in Bozeman, okay, Bozeman, Montana, and good Lord, I'm glad I got a four-wheel drive truck and I can drive over some stuff, not cars or people, but ditches and, you know, certain ditches and stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's just becoming impassable, even in Bozeman. You know, if you want to go to town, you can sometimes see 9 mile long from Four Corners into Bozeman and beyond. You can see bumper to bumper traffic in Bozeman. Well, that's because obviously it's tourist season. And what happened during the lockdown, the lockup, and the solitary confinement, people wanted to head to the open spaces. But what I'm going to tell you is this. The plan is in place that when certain events happen, the borders are going to be shut down. People who want to leave had better leave now. People say, you said that Ebola was going to break up. I didn't tell you when. I said they're already announcing the patents, announcing the viruses, and talking about people coming down with monkeypox. How can people be so foolish to not see that they're talking about a secondary lockdown? What they will do is save the worst for last. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the population reduction. We've talked on Doug's program. I've talked on Alex's program, on other programs about the Deagle Report. But until people that were considered fringe alternate people like, you know, Doug and Steve or Alex and stuff, until they talked about it, that's when the Deagle Report, which is by John Deagle, he's dead, part of the Rockefeller Foundation, talking about 250 million Americans being gone by 2025. And then you understand that they want 100% vaccination rate, that if you don't get vaccinated, you go to the camps, they kill you anyway. So this is the thing, Doug. There's no words, and I want your input. There's no words that I can even, qualify the statement of how laden is the outer. There's no water for the West Coast very soon. The weather is being manipulated. Weather warfare is exactly what it means. I know Dan Wigington done a great job. You know, I think he's one of the most amazing men on the planet. But he and I think it's my worldview versus his. I talk about weather wars. He talks about geoengineering. The whole purpose of the Air Force, we control the weather, or weather as a force multiplier, 2025. They controlled it when they wrote the report. And the Russians have excelled at weather modification warfare. And so now you hear the statement that China's saying, we know who's doing it, and we're going to take them on. Well, good luck, because, again, you know, unless people pay attention to what's going on in the world. If you watch the vomit brokers, okay, no matter what vomit broker press is mainstream press, they've all been compromised, including Fox. Including Fox. Telling you to take an experimental medical concoction, the juice, the jab juice, with no definable science behind it, rush through due to an emergency, create the emergency, rush through the poison, and everybody dies. That's as simple as I know how to make it. But here's the deal. All of the vaccine counter arguments are being monitored in real time by the NSA. All yeah. of those people that are talking about it, from Dr. Mercola, you name everybody, and Dr. Mercola is on record as saying this, you know. I received an email last night. I'll send it to you. You know, just saying, hey, Steve, here are the top priorities. You talk about, and guess what the number two one is? Famine and food shortages.
Yep.
That, ladies, did I already send that to you?
No, you didn't. But when you say famine and food shortages, it takes me back to what the Ice Age farmer said, but it also gives me the idea, you know, it fits well within this weather warfare you're talking about. And folks, if you don't believe in weather warfare, if you think that's just some sort of a wild myth or whatever, urban legend, understand we use that during the Vietnam War. Okay. Just so you know, and it's well documented in history. But no, and of course, food is going to be the weapon of control, as all, the communist globalist, despots have used. And so it all ties together, Steve. And I love really how you fit everything together. Look, all the way back from Genesis 6 to the current day, to prophecy, in the practical sense of weather, you know, of the weather of the, and of course you see how this is going to push the climate change agenda. So all of this fits together so nicely. And it takes me to the conversation where that you overheard, well, no, I really don't care about the end of days, end times. Well, okay. I guess we're here now, and that's what this is all about. So thank you for all of that. I don't know if I made sense, but there's just a lot of dots that you just
connected. No, you did make sense. There is no ability for cognizantly defining that cause and effect have any effect any longer. Good example. If you're facing a time of no food resulting in starvation, do you really want a big screen TV looted from a Target store? If you're facing starvation, do you really want a designer handbag? It's probably a Chinese knockoff anyway. I'm talking about some stores that sell knockoffs. But the point is that there is no, how should I say, Doug, follow through in what a farmer has to do to get the food, the amount of fuel it takes, the amount of hard work it takes, that from dusk to dawn they carry on. When I see nothing, okay, this will be the second thing that makes me crazy. When I see people who are just nonchalantly dismissing the farmers or the truck drivers, I've been on a long time. I guess I'm sounding like somebody who's been on a long time. But I have always been an advocate for the truck drivers against the horrific rules and regulations of the national transportation, whatever, whoever, you know, that controls them. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this again. Please go to your fridge. Go to your, if you've got a freezer in the fridge or extra, go to your pantry. Make a list of what's in your pantry. Because most people, like, let's say if it's noodles or pasta, I don't eat that stuff, but I mean, you know, normal people eat it. But the bottom line is that, you know, look at the stuff you have. You think baking chocolate, what about, and I think sugar is the kiss of death. But what's interesting is sugar is so important to so many people that I know, I'll tell you, I personally know someone that's got a survival closet. And with a closet, what's a standard size closet? You know, maybe 4 feet square on the bottom, 7 feet tall. It's filled with nothing but candy bars, chocolate bars, every form of sweet you can think of. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding one bit. So what I think we're talking about here, Doug, is the ultimate reality check. And that's why, and I want to share this, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I want to thank you all for your donations, because we've been taking care of the widows. They can't take care of themselves. You are doing it. We're taking care of the vets. Some of these vets live in the woods, live in a tent. They ask me only for, a new jacket and a sleeping bag. Fortunately, they get more than a new jacket and a sleeping bag. Guys who are going to be evicted. Guys who are, and I'm talking veterans, female veterans. I've asked people, you know what, Doug, it's interesting. Some people can make me aware of this brother who's a veteran on the street, and I put out a cry. Not a cry, an alert. Well, I cried. I was just saying, Lord, help me help this guy. He was a guy who said, hungry, no clothes, no food, and I'm angry. I said, I will pay someone $500, instant PayPal or check overnight, if you will find that man for me, that veteran. I'm not a do-gooder. I just want to say, God, you told me if I don't take care of the least of your servants, Lord, the least of one of these, Lord, then I don't have faith. The Bible, and that's what, Doug, your listening audience and my listening audience are shared audiences. They've responded to that. And it's amazing to me because, and I said to that, to go out and find him, please. I'll pay you $500. You can call the press. I just don't have the time. And I said, tell that man I'll put him in an extended hotel and I'll get in touch with a veterans organization to help him. I once saw a guy. I'm just telling you, I'm saying, God, cue my vision. Let me see somebody that needs help. Not the same guy for 100 days straight. Got one guy in Bozeman, 100 days straight. We'll work for food. I watched somebody offer him a job. No, thanks. Make more just begging. But I'm talking about people who are genuinely in need. I'm talking about the best witness I've learned to date to encourage people who are of the faith. Is anybody that bows their head in prayer and is saying grace, buy their dinner, buy their lunch. And when they say, but why would you do that? Simple statement, because you're honoring God. And I want to be a vessel for his blessing. Just saying, Thanksgiving is a rare and vanishing, what would you say, form of worship. Because when you bow your head and pray, you're thanking God for what's on the plate. So what I'm saying is, people, thank you, all Hagman's listeners, not the trolls, you know. And by the way, a lot of you trolls will starve to death in the days ahead. Not a curse, just an awareness. A lot of people that make their living traveling the country at other people's expense, they're going to end up someplace. They're not going to be able to get back to wherever they called home. I don't think people understand that the eternal stakes are in play. So talking about shutting down and shutting off, if you're Nevada, you're not going to allow all the Californians to come into Las Vegas to drink fountain water. If your fountain water can't even, your fountains can't go anymore because there's too much water being used. When the fountains go dry and the people wonder why, you'll know just up the road, Lake Mead has gone down to a new level. And ladies and gentlemen, the time comes when all that water disappears. Well, how can you say that? Because I understand weather warfare. I understand the temperatures. And by the way, for those who, you know, Doug, will always have, how should I be kind, naysayers, go look up U.S. Patent number 4686605. I used to memorize, like, I think 10 of the patents. That's called the Eastland patent. That's the HAARP, H-A-A-R-P patent, 4686605. Nobody's phone number, don't call it, okay? But the bottom line is that is the Eastland patent, 4686605. I should probably make a song, kind of like Tommy Two Tones, you know? Remember that song? It was just nothing but numbers. And this is 4686605. You better look it up because you're going to die. No, I would be more gentle than that. But the weather wars are upon us. And it's not just in the United States. That's what I want people to think. I want to break that thinking. People say, why do you only talk to people in the United States? I don't. Watch what's happening to Australia. Watch what's happening in Canada. Watch what's happening to China. I talk more about Chinese floods than I talk about U.S. floods. Because right now, we don't have to worry about U.S. floods. We're talking about drought. Simple equation. Everybody put it on your fridge. Drought equals famine. Famine equals starvation. Starvation equals early death. Okay? Real simple. Real simple. And Doug, the idea, now this has got to be covered. I want the people to know. Well, I started warning you that change, coinage, dimes, quarters, halves, you know, coinage was going to be withdrawn from the system. People would respond, and I put it up on the alerts, and they said, it's true. Mark my words, cash will start to tip over faster as being accepted than when we had the CD19. I told my story about REI. I said, I'd never go in that place again. They wouldn't accept cash. And I sat there, and obviously I wasn't in a good mood, so I'm not going to buy anything. But I said, you realize, don't you, and your headquarters, wherever in Seattle, needs to realize this note says, what, legal tender for all debts, private and public, or whatever. Isn't that true?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. So wait a minute. They wouldn't take cash, and you had cash, and
no, they wouldn't take cash. During the COVID-19, but the day is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is here. In the last, today is what, the 29th, 32. So two more days in July.
Yep.
Those who are in the world of banking, those who are in the world that understand what's going to happen are telling me this. If you don't believe it, fine. I don't care anymore. I care to be faithful to what God's calling me, and your blood, and I'm speaking to a specific person, your blood is on your own head, Mr. Critic. You can post all you want on anybody's forums. You can mock us, but your blood is on your own head. We're watching, Doug, the taking out of circulation currency. Let me give you an example. If I go and spend $20, where would I go spend $20? Probably at a pharmacy, and a $20 bill buys a $19.95 thing of eye drops I'm trying to use to keep my eye lubricated. And the thing is that they don't give change. We have a stores in Bozeman already saying no cash accepted. No cash accepted. They're withdrawing currency, ladies and gentlemen, because currency takes away their control.
Right.
People have got to start using cash and refusing their credit cards because the credit card companies are going to crash everybody. Doug, here's the thing. They break the dependence on cash. They try and get dealers and retailers and everybody not to accept cash, and then they control the credit cards. We've already seen the Stagecoach Bank, just say it that way, Stagecoach Bank killing line of credit cards for their business customers, notifying them all, your cards are no good. Well, there goes a hit on your credit report. We've already seen the Boa Constrictor Bank. Think about Boa, how it's spelled, Constrictor Bank, constricting funds. I'll tell you a story. This literally happened to me with a friend of mine who's a client. He sold a major property, and the major property was in the millions, okay? And he tried to get his money. Now, if people don't understand one thing, I want to make it clear. Another one of my notoriously simple illustrations. If Bank A wires to Bank B and they wire money, the money in the account, Bank B, is instantly accessible. That's called good funds, collected funds. If Bank A issues a cashier's check, it is not considered collected funds by Bank B until the funds clear the Fed. So this person was denied for 8 days his money, and it was in the millions. In the millions, over five. He said when he went in there, I want everybody to know, you do not call on the phone. You go in there and you demand your money. And if they do it to you, get a cashier check and go immediately to a strong local or regional bank and open a new bank account. The literal five biggest banks at any given point now are insolvent, because if they don't keep their clients' money, they can't meet the Fed requirements. And some of the rates, Doug, on overnight, if some bank is short, let's say $10 million, and they've got to have $10 million to maintain their deposit ratio of cash to liabilities, assets, and everything, the bottom line is they have to borrow that $10 million overnight. Some of the banks are paying 20-25%. I'm not making that up, as opposed to a couple percent.
That's at the Fed window, right?
Yeah, that's at the Fed window.
Okay, all right.
And people go to the ATM machines and they go, well, it's a weekend. I want to get a couple $100 for the weekend. Wrong, because the money in the ATM machines counts as, you know, an asset. If it takes out of the ATM machines, then it goes against it. It increases the liability the bank has to have to borrow money to pay interest to the Fed, the bank window.
Right.
The goal of everybody in this world right now is to control humans, control us. So everybody goes to the credit card, okay? Da, 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 da. You can only use a credit card. And then you're politically incorrect. You go to swipe. And by the way, when you're swiping the credit card, just think about this. They're swiping your life, okay? So you swipe, you go to the gas station, whatever. And it goes declined. And you call. You go, why is this card declined? And they'll give you a hokey reason, but they'll say, we've changed our bank policy. You need to call so-and-so and so-and-so. Am I telling, does everybody get the idea of how they're going to do this? Because at the end of the day, no matter what you talk about, Doug, what I talk about, no matter what they're initiating, instituting, and planning, it's to take control over even the basic choices of, can I go buy something? Can I go buy a can of chunky beef soup at whatever store that sells it and pay for it?
So how do we fight this, Steve?
Catherine Austin Fitz has a great plan.
Yeah, okay.
People begin to not use their credit cards, okay? Now, some people have to use them. I'm saying don't use them.
Wait. Just to be clear, too. If you have a checking account with a debit card that's attached to the checking account and you use it as a, not a debit card, but a credit card, that is to say, when you use it, you don't put a PIN in. It's really a credit transaction as opposed to a debit transaction. That's the same thing. Don't use those, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't use debit cards. Debit cards, depending on the bank, the financial institution that issues them, they tie up more than you. Let's say you run a debit for $10 or whatever for your card. Don't use it for that. Get, if you've got credit cards, use them. But debit cards, D-E-B-I-T cards, are one of the biggest dangers to everybody who's got a checking account. I'm going to say this too, Doug. For people who do online banking, you better consider it in prayer if that's the right thing for you. Because I've been told by multiple sources that all the cyber attacks, can you imagine a sinister cyber attack with the biggest banks in the world withholding your funds, claiming it's a cyber attack when they're in on it? No names. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So it's all about control. It's all about control. And it doesn't get better than that. So what am I saying? I'm saying realize if a store says that they will not accept cash, go on. Those of you who are on social media, I don't recommend anybody be on it, but start saying, hey, I was just at XYZ store and they won't accept cash, and have everybody start posting. Did you know? Because they still need their cash flow, unless somebody else is, you know, bankrolling on. But sooner or later, you know, if enough people use cash and when they are declined cash, denied cash, and just like the coinage thing, I started putting it up on my website. Now others now have taken it and run with it. Where are all the coins going? Well, the reason they're taking coinage out first, ladies and gentlemen, because dimes, quarters, nickels, and halves, the base metals in them are worth more than the dollar or that they represent combined. In other words, there's more than a dollar, which has about a nickel's worth of purchasing power. There's more of the value in the coinage, the actual melt value. And by the way, you got to be careful. If you melt coins, that's a federal offense. So what I'm just saying is this. The word force majeure, M-A-J-E-U-R-E, basically means that there's things beyond our control that we can no longer cancel. South Africa's main shipping company, God bless you, Sean, in South Africa, basically declared force majeure, which means we can't honor our contracts. There's no money. It's basically a complete shutdown of their ability to relate to any type of financial transaction or square the books, deliver products, or get products delivered to them. In other words, it's a complete shutdown of their economy as it relates to that. Doug, will you take it just a minute, please?
Yeah, sure. Okay. And folks, what Steve's saying, I think we've all had the experience. And just yell, Steve, whenever you're back. I think we've all had the experience of seeing the coin shortage. If you haven't, just go out and try getting change for your Federal Reserve notes. But we spoke about this earlier in the week, and I think that it's important that I think it's important that we all understand that we have to position ourselves. I don't care if we only have $10 or $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. It doesn't matter how much money we have. We have to protect. I think it's our duty to protect what we have. So what Steve's saying, I think, is extremely important to really grasp, and that is we have to prepare, number one, for this economic downturn and shortage. We have to prepare to be pushed into a digital currency where they could surveil us, and we have to fight against that. And everything's happening at once, which I think Steve earlier had, you know, said it best. We're seeing time like this. 19 years have gone by. It's like, where did time go? Where did it all go? But think about what's happened in the last 18 months. We've seen, we've gone from President Trump and the people, you know, attempting to take him down through the Steele dossier and false Russian narrative and investigations and such, to now this, we've seen that take place. We've seen a hijacked election. We've seen that coronavirus COVID-19 84 infused into our lifestyles. We've seen the response to that, the lockdowns, the mask wearing, the you will obey, you will stand 6 feet away. We've seen all of this. We saw the coup of November 3rd. We saw the disturbance at the Capitol, which others have termed, the left has termed, an insurrection. We've seen this all happen. With really, in a span of what, 16 months roughly? 18 months? Look how much has happened in the last 18 months. And the development of this genetically modifying, and I can't get this out of my head, this genetically modifying, jab juice that more and more people are waking up to. I saw a Twitter video by Michael Rapaport, who I think is the most despicable human being on the planet. I don't know how many people know who he is. That's my personal opinion. He's a foul-mouthed, leftist, liberal, communist-loving pig, in my view. But then I'm holding back. Say, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I got the vaccine? Now I'm a super spreader. Okay, it was kind of a wake up moment for him, and it made me chuckle. I don't think it was really a wake up moment. I think it was just he was just perturbed by being called a super spreader because he had the jab juice. But all of this combined, think, and you know, even if folks, let me talk to you for a moment, directly, personally, even in your lives, think of how much has gone on in the last 16, 18 months. Personally, I'm sure it'll amaze you when you take that inventory. So in my view, what we're seeing is an acceleration, of events. I don't want to say time, but I suppose time. Yeah, I think maybe, perhaps, but an acceleration of events. And I think this signifies the end of days in which we live. Now, again, until Steve, just yell when you're back.
I'm back.
Okay. Because, yeah, I was just going to say too, just from what I've seen from working, you know, in the field with the exposing this human and child sex trafficking, and what God bless Russ, what a great job him and his team do. I've also seen an acceleration of the bad people there. Okay. The people who are, it's remarkable how frantic they are to bring about the end of days. And I think that that's their entire job right now, is to bring that about. So anyway, I'm going to stop there, kick it back to you, and continue. Go ahead.
Well, again, I think this is critical, because some people say, well, you know, God's in control of all history. Yes, but we also know that God has declared the end of the age at the beginning, telling us what we're going to be dealing with. The problem is, and I know this is going to sound like cliche, I do not mean it to be that. The problem is, they who claim to be Christians don't believe what's written between the pages of Genesis and the book of Revelation. For instance, how about this, ladies and gentlemen? This is interesting. Doug McIntosh, really good author, one of the guys I've enjoyed the most early on when the internet was up. He just sent this to me, and this is a point to underscore where we're at, because of what Russ is dealing with, Doug, you're dealing with. The supernatural. He said, 2 days ago, I saw a story about a $400 million Exorcist trilogy remake being planned by the Hollyweirds, based on the 1973 demon-possessed movie with Linda Blair and Ellen Burstyn. That was obviously The Exorcist. 48 hours later, USA gets hit with an 8-plus EQ in Alaska. God's judgment is speeding up. I agree with Doug on that. I do believe, Doug, that there is a disconnect, that people will take the words of those who have been pathological liars. Good. Let me ask you a question. When did any of you truly believe mainstream media? Now, a lot of you will say, well, I believe Fox until. But if you understand that even Fox is changing, Sean Hannity telling people to take the vaccine, Tucker Carlson, by the way, Tucker Carlson was in Livingston, Montana last week, and a CIA operative comes up and starts hassling him, and I think Tucker was with this little girl, claiming Tucker is responsible for mass murders. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it came out that that guy was a CIA agent. And this is what I think people have to understand, Doug. There is a sinister evil. And I want to say this again. Ask the Lord, when you're through listening to us tonight on tonight's podcast, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you mean by the whole world lies in the evil one? You see, I know there are really wonderful people that just can't by age or by sickness or whatever, that love God. I'm not talking to those people, but I'm talking about able-bodied men and women who are churchians, okay, C-U-C-H-U-R-C-H-I-A-N-S. In other words, and I will define it, a churchian is someone who believes that their relationship to the church is more important to their personal walk and relationship with Jesus Christ.
Great one.
Why have churchians, okay? Or as I like to call the people with no spines, jellyfishians. Jellyfishians. And the spinelessness. And by the way, Dave Dobermark, you read his thing on cowardice the other day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a seminal piece. And one of the statements I will, what is he said? Being a coward is a fast train to hell, or on a fast slope to hell. I'll never forget that statement. But people forget. Ladies and gentlemen, the faith we have delivered by the faithful through the last, 2,000 years, where is it? It's abandoned. And that's what the scripture says. So what causes Christians to abandon the faith? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Doug, we are a nation claiming to have, and by the way, the only time Obama, in my opinion, ever told the truth when he said America is no longer a Christian nation. That was true.
I agree.
Come to power had it been so.
And if I can just jump in here for a second, yeah, because you reminded me of something. And this goes to your, I don't want to say complaint, but your observation of Christians, because we find ourselves, you and me, talking about this a lot on air. And I know that people get frustrated with us because, you know, why are you picking on one of your own? Well, you know, it's a lot easier. I think we as Christians, and I say this for myself too, I find it a lot easier to tear stuff down than to build something. Okay. So I think we as Christians have been, and please correct me or refine my statement as you see fit. But, you know, we're so used to having the convenience, if you will, of tearing something down and not having the energy or enthusiasm, same enthusiasm, to build something back up again or to build something on our own. And I see that happening within the church, within the Christian church, among Christians, among so-called self-professed Bible-believing Christians. We need to, sadly, you know, too many people are excited about tearing things down, things down. Go ahead.
Here's the answer. The term Christian has a specific meaning. The term Bible-believing has a specific meaning. Now, I understand everybody's not going to agree with me, and I'm not going to agree with you. But what people don't understand, and this is what I meant by the pulpits that are not preaching Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. The thing is, you cannot fix a problem until you identify the problem, right? You cannot draw people out of delusion or deception until you tell them and show them the nature of delusion, deception. Look, most people, well, you know, they'll fault me and you, but if we quote the words of Jesus saying, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Doug, I'll give you a simple answer. We're willing to fight each other, but we're not willing to fight the faith. It's easier to fight each other than to stand up for Jesus. It's easier because you know what? When we fight amongst ourselves, normally, there are exceptions in our world, but normally most Christians won't kill most Christians. They'll just let everybody be. But the deception, until you disclose, define, and reveal the root of deception, the deception goes on and on and on. So where is it leading us? I have an answer to that. Of course I do. Where did the Jews who believed they were God's chosen people, they had their orthodoxy, they had their beliefs, they had their traditions, their customs, but what led them to get on the platform to head to all of the different extermination camps? What, Doug? What led them to go there? They became vilified. They became less than human. Yep. They were absolutely, in order to, for the good of society, for the greater good, those people had to be destroyed, along with Christians, along with gypsies, along with a whole lot of other people. Yep. So, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to stop everybody from getting on the trains. That's a bottom line.
And that's a great, thank you, because that's what this is all about. At the end of the day, that's what this is all about, along with, you know, making sure that our walk with our Lord and Savior is the proper walk, or that we have that walk. And thank you. You explained that well.
Well, again, here's the deal. When Jesus went by the fig tree, you know, the disciples were looking at the fig tree, and they just had an expectation. And the bottom line is they expect to see figs. What did Jesus say? He basically, there were no figs. And he said, the curse, you know, no man eat figs from the tree now or forever. Then the disciples passed by again, and they marveled that the fig tree had died. If you don't bear fruit for the kingdom of God, guess what? Your roots don't go down deep enough, and you start to perish. And you perish because there's no fruit. And Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not by their arguments, not by their claims, but by their fruit. You know? And unfortunately, I'm looking for fruit, and I get fruitcakes, okay? And anybody's ever had a holiday fruitcake, most people don't eat them, okay? They don't. They put them in a can, and you know, they sit in the closet, and finally when they're moldy, they throw them out. Now, maybe there are some people that like fruitcakes. Judging is sentencing. but discerning. They who are spiritual, Apostle Paul, discern all things. So when I hear somebody saying, you know, I won't even go there. When I hear some of the people saying what they say about me and you, Doug, I want to look for the fruit. Now, I've asked everybody on your podcast, our platform, individually, separate, and together. I said, go out and look at the fruit of those people's lives who attack us. If they have a following of one, maybe most people don't buy their lie. Or maybe they'll listen and they'll go to, you know, different meetings around the country when someone who slandered us, we get a $4.5 million lawsuit, yet they'll still go and they'll ask about, what do you know about Steve Quayle or Doug Hagman? And the guy gets nervous and he says, well, I can't talk about that, but when the cameras are up, I'll talk about that. Or the people that say, we ought to hire a hitman against Quayle. Oh, it was just meant to be tongue in cheek. Well, I got news for you. The thing is that people are playing their hands. Come to find out, the guy wanted to hire a hitman. This is true. It's always just a joke. He has personal issues with me. The people on the forum who told me, in essence, he hated me without a cause. Where's Matthew 18? Come on. Come on. Come on. I forget his initials, BP or whatever. Come on. Call me on the phone. Talk about it. Do the Matthew 18 thing. Instead of staying self-righteous on a forum and then trying to get everybody to gang up against me and then saying, now, see, Doug, most people would just say, oh, that's just talk. It isn't, because you and I have to deal with insane people that take insane statements, and then we've got to deal with it. We got to raise our operational security. And see, the devil's smart. He doesn't even have to assign any extra talent to us, because he knows he just has to basically give
Step back and let them do it, you know?
Yeah,
and it's true. It's very true. Folks, I've seen this happen. And I don't mean to overtalk or interrupt, Steve.
No, you're not overtalking.
You know, it's if people only understood, and I should add, too, this, the alternative media, with few exceptions, and I mean, there's some great, I mean, absolutely fantastic people in the alternative media, but there's a lot of egocentricity there in the alternative media, and it's stuff that people don't see. And if people would just stop it, just, you know what, fix your eyes on God, on Jesus Christ as your Savior, walk the walk, let's get together, let's get our smoot together, and let's fight the battles together. Put our differences aside. I mean, that's where I'd like to be there. But you know, like you said before, you know, the people say, I'll be right behind you there. Yeah, no, you come over here and stand next to me. Yeah, so go ahead.
Well, no, here's the thing. People, and look, again, I want people to understand this. The necessity to identify the enemy is prerequisite in any war. Prerequisite. Now, the devil doesn't have any problem. The devil's number one enemy is the human race, because we bear the image and likeness of Jesus, and he's going to tear up every human being. He's going to succeed. He's going to succeed marvelously. When the Lord tells us there's never been a time like it nor would be again, you've got to get that in your head. I got to get that in my heart. But here's the deal. Everybody can be a fruit inspector. A fruit inspector just means, are those guys winning people to Jesus, the ones that are knocking us? Are those women feeding, you know, hundreds of people? Are those people bailing out the vets? Are those people leading any single person to Jesus? Last guy I asked that to, you know, he said, oh, I don't have to do any of that because my faith is assured, because it's not of works that any man should boast. I said, no, but James also goes on, and don't forget this, faith without works is dead. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we're talking about the resurrection, if we're talking about the life that only God can give, if we're talking about praying for you as if that were our own life, and I do that when I pray, Doug, I pray publicly. I've done it on your show and my show and different shows, and I believe God answers prayer. But, you know, to say and to let stupid statements stand by people that are trying to weasel in that, oh, that Hagman, the Quayle, you know, that, we're ripping off people. Are you kidding me? The bottom line is this. People say we address our accusers too much. You've heard that. I've heard that.
Sure.
But ladies and gentlemen, if you knew who the accusers are, they're some of the people you're listening to on the internet. They're people that come all holy, and they have a holy quest to go around the country and minister to the people of God. Basically, they're freeloaders, and they want a handout. And you define the problem, you see the solution, and, you know, all I'm saying, Doug, is God himself said his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you said that 100 times, most people who claim, well, I'm not destroyed, I'm not being destroyed. I want to just leave it. We've got, what, how many minutes left?
As long as you want, my brother, but we've got about 10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I want people to understand this. Gerald Celente says, when people have nothing to lose, I'm shortening, I know there's more of it, but they lose it, you know. Desperate people do desperate things. Look at, I just gave you an example of, you know, unless you've ever been to Yellowstone Park in the summer, which I don't recommend, by the way, or been to Grand Tetons and into Jackson Hole itself in the summer, I don't recommend anyway. It's just too many people. But imagine all those people. Imagine that many people in a town and the food runs out in a town. The trucks, for whatever reason, that we're going to truck in the food, that Tuesday's food would be available to whoever, or Tuesday's fuel, gas. What happens when you concentrate a large number of people in a very small space and people get hungry, they get thirsty, they get angry, and then what happens? You know, everybody knows the fur begins to fly. That's a nice way of saying it. Those who are nice people who would never think about, you know, a crisis like this arising in their lifetime, they get swept up, they get swept in it. That's why I say you want to be the safest place to be is in the hidden away in the secret place of the Most High God. The number one survival thing, and there's one of the guys that started it, that's record. That's not bragging. Dude, the best place to be is where everyone else isn't, especially in a panic. It should be that obvious. But I hear people saying, well, I gotta rush. Trust me, there are other ways to take care of certain needs than filling your cart with toilet paper. I can't get over that. I thought, good night. These people must have figured out that they could just eat toilet paper, put some seasoning on it, somehow it'll fill their stomach. But what happens, Doug? Seriously, I'll throw it back to you. What happens if you're in an environment, but multiplies to 60,000 people? What happens when every store is looted? Every store is looted. What happens when you go to the faucet, the water faucet? There is no water. Well, then you begin to look for water, a fountain, a pool. Do you have a water filter? What happens when you think, I got to get out, I got to get in the mountains? The roads are blocked. They can shut down any road system, the authorities, in less than 6 minutes. That's their magic number. That's their magic number.
I've seen that happen up here for a different reason, but I've seen that happen. And it was within 6 minutes that we try to get on the interstate. No way. But go ahead.
Everybody's locked on the interstate. I referred to that earlier. I would tell people, based on what I know, look, everybody wants to know the same question. I can't answer it. When? Well, you said, listen, I said a lot of things, and they have come to pass, but they certainly didn't come to pass one day or 1 minute afterwards. And, oh, by the way, I'm not writing books on, that President Trump is coming back, and everybody's saying, amen, brother, my sister, my blah, 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 servant of the Lord, handmaid of the Lord. They all say the same thing. Doug, again, I want to share this with you. The ratio of false prophets to true prophets is 400 to 1. 400 to 1. Elijah, true prophet, prophets of Baal, 400. When you had Ahab and Jehoshaphat, Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat king to join him in a war against Syria. 400 of Ahab's prophets told him what he wanted to hear. Upon hearing 400 prophets telling Ahab what he wants to hear. King Jehoshaphat, who is a righteous guy, said one thing. He said, is there not a prophet in Israel? To which Ahab responded, I'm going to keep telling this story. Yeah, there's a guy named Micaiah over there, but he just tells me things I don't want to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the problem of false prophecy in the church today. They tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. I got no axe to grind with any of them. Go ahead and read them all. Listen to them all. But, after it's all said and done, did they lift up Jesus? Did they correct you? You can't live like hell and end in heaven. There's a real simple statement. You can't live like hell and end in heaven. Did they provoke you to righteousness? Did they tell you to quit shacking up? Did they tell you to quit doing, but do embrace the living God? Because at the end of the day, Doug, everybody wants to do their own thing, even if the devil's providing the menu. You can do this, this, and this, but don't pray. Don't call upon the name of Jesus. Oh, by the way, that sounds like the clergy response team constitution. You cannot pray. You cannot talk about Jesus. You cannot quote the Bible. Huh. Probably you could quote the satanic Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the thing. We have yielded to Satanists. We have yielded to the kingdom of darkness. We're not born into the kingdom of darkness when we're born again by the Spirit of God. We are yielding to the most sinisterly wicked, unseen Paul, Ephesians 6. We're wrestling. We're fighting. We're at the ultimate battle. This is the end battle. And the people who are saying, well, this can't be the ultimate battle because I'm still here. Then at least prepare if it's a day later than you think. If it's a week later than you think, I'm talking about people that believe they're going to be out here in a pre-tribulation rapture. But at what point do they say, maybe my theology was wrong? At what point is it when the drugstores are not open? Is it when the grocery stores are not open? Is it when the gas pumps are shut? Is it when you can't do anything, go anywhere? And you live in our house, we live like Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, waiting for the knock on the door for those who would either kill us on the spot or take us away to the prison camps. In Alexander Solzhenitsyn's day, the Gulag Archipelago, they needed workers. And that's why they didn't just kill them off. But this is different, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, Doug. I want to know what's coming so I can pray, having done all stand. And if I haven't done all that, I'm not going to be able to stand. But calling on God who will give me the power to stand, that the Bible says God will never suffer us to have to go through anything more than we can stand. He knows what we can take. But ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. They're robbing all of us of our blessings. Everything we've known, Doug. As a nation, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, that's gone. That's gone. And to the republic for which we stood, it's gone. One nation under God, it's gone. With indivisible, we're a house divided. We can't stand. There's no liberty. There's no justice. But the most important thing, my brothers and sisters, is freedom. Freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M. The people that fought and died. And I heard one honest, I don't know if he's a lieutenant colonel or whatever, he said, so then what was Afghanistan and all the loss of life about? We know what it was about. What was Korea all about? What was Vietnam all about? Men and women who would lay down their lives, and we treat them like dogs in the veterans' hospitals. And now, by the way, Doug, this was a safe call. I said it would happen. I said the VA will make vaccinations mandatory.
Yep. First federal agency to do that. Yep.
Yep. And so, ladies and gentlemen, why? Because nothing terrifies a traitor, T-R-A-I-T-O-R, or a, let's say this, a traitor, or those who are bound to destroy more than the truth. And so the truth is, you guys, we sat back as a nation and watched veteran after veteran during Obama's reign of terror die. Actually, it started even Bush's realm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're here today because those were others who paid the price. We can't stand because we're a divided nation. Have you seen the military readiness? Have you heard about the entity that is the head, quote, of the military? Have you seen Mark Milley absolutely violating his constitutional, the things he says? Are you seeing it, ladies and gentlemen? The Marxist takeover? Doug, you know, people said, oh, Steve, you're extreme. This isn't a communist takeover and takedown. Your words will stick in your throat. It most certainly is, because when you get two of the most powerful, a powerful four-star general and an admiral saying, you know, I've read Marx and it's got some good things to say, and teaching Marxism to the U.S. Naval Academy, teaching it to West Point, teaching it, and kicking out any conservatives, any Christians, by the way, according to my sources, and they're real, they're going to take out every single Christian, kick out. I mean take out as in take out if they have to, but they're going to kick out and they're going to force out any Christian in the military. You may be one, you may still be there, but that's the plan. Because what you see is what comes down from your hierarchy. You don't see what's controlling the hierarchy that has that call over your life. 275,000 of our servicemen and servicewomen are refusing to take the vaccine. Can anybody go to one statement by Shen Ping, Chenping, Chinese Communist Party bio weapons designer, and say and listen to his words and take the vaccine? He said, we defeated America with our bioweapon. We destroyed their economy. And by inference, they'll destroy our military. If they let them. Thank God there's still people loyal out there. I don't even know them, whether it's in Starfleet and literally, you know, Space Command, the real one, not the one that you know that's coming, whether they're the Submariners, God bless them, whether they're still the men and women that know that when the time comes, they will have to fight the entities that have already taken over the U.S. military. I think Vladimir Putin made a statement the other day, maybe yesterday, he said, so are you, the American people, willing to die for this robot, Biden? People say, I'm Satan incarnate. I don't care. Doug, you missed that. What man would make that statement? What man would make that statement?
What man
people
would
think I'm Satan incarnate, you know? Yeah. Well, maybe not a man, okay?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are at a point where it has to be maximum prayer. If you're scared, then admit it. I get scared. If you think you're scared with what you know, I got to tell you, sometimes I totally get, I don't know, almost frightened to the point where I lose my voice. And I say, Lord, at the time I am afraid, I trust thee. I rebuke the spirit of fear. Because God said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, of love, power, of power, love, or love, power, and a sound mind. But fear is present on earth, and we have to overcome it. We have to deal with it. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? I can't personally be in fellowship. I'm not saying they're any more saved or less saved than I am. I can't be in any fellowship when somebody says, well, I'm sorry, Steve, but I just can't fight to protect my wife's life. I got to say this, Doug. I have nothing in common with that statement. We may serve the same Lord. But we and I have everything. I said, God, I said, Lord, I should say I pray. You know, wishful thinking doesn't get you anyplace, but I wish I could have been more effective in stopping the slaughter of the innocents. Because I remember Mike McQuitty making a statement on one of my first programs 25 years ago. God told him people didn't accept the forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, then God would require an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They don't want to live under grace. Well, righteous blood will be, how should I say this, dealt with, the blood of the innocents. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian, you can listen to your lying pastor in the pulpit who's saying, you don't want to listen to those guys. Those are all conspiracy guys. You don't want to listen to those guys who are talking about prophecy. We don't deal with that. We just deal with the love of God. Oh, really? Like, I guess there's a Hillsong in Atlanta. That's a denomination that have joined with Facebook. Some of the most provocatively, in my opinion, evil, entity-driven companies in the world, faces of death book. That's why I called it that. And yet they're going to talk to them about worshiping. Why not just bring in a robot, declare he's God? That's how fallen we are, Doug, as a nation. And we will not go into, how should I say this, a revival's coming, a great revival's coming, not without repentance. There is no revival without repentance. And Doug, I want to thank you again for letting me come on today and share. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is increasingly wicked. The time is increasingly shortening. That's kind of almost an oxymoron. The time is shortening. And as we see the increasing wickedness, we wonder, well, gee, what would Jesus do? And I'm saying that not mocking Jesus, but mocking that whole statement of, well, Jesus was here, he'd take the vaccine. Are you kidding me? That's heresy. Jesus went about all who were afflicted and sick, healing them all. And John said that all the books in the world wouldn't. So basically, you know, people will be slaughtered, literally slaughtered, because they have a misunderstanding of Romans 13. You don't have godly government. You got a guy saying he's Satan. Good night. And I'm sorry, Doug, but, you know, the government we got reflects the true condition spiritually of the country at large. And with that, I will say goodbye, my brother.
Very well stated. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Folks, you can say, Steve, you can still buy the DVDs for Extinction Protocols, right?
Yeah. And people are buying them. And seriously, Doug, they're saying, wow.
Yeah.
It's like it was, this conference was for the time. And I said, yeah, that's why it's called Extinction Protocols, because everything we're talking today, we're talking about the commercial extinction. We're talking about the human race extinction. And that's why that word, and protocols means a plan. Ladies and gentlemen, order it. I promise you, you'll be blessed by it.
Amen. I certainly have been watching it and rewatching it. I can't get enough of that, folks. Gen6.com, order your copy today. Steve, thank you very much. And before you go, allow me to sing a few bars of Feelings. No. Happy birthday.
Listen, you did that. Thank you, Doug. If you sing Feelings, I'm going to go buy an ice cream cone, and I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to go bam, bam, bam. By the way, Biden puts them in his mouth, and I put them in my forehead.
Gosh, I'll tell you what.
Don't forget the sprinkles.
Yeah, you got to get that's right. And the sprinkles hurt, by the way, when you – all right. But happy birthday, my brother. We'll be talking off air.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye.
And folks, that was Steve Quayle. What a great guy. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. And of course, it's his birthday. I'm not going to say when, but it's going to be a few days. The 2nd, August.
What was that hand signal?
Was it this? Wait, am I allowed to do that? I can't do that, right? Mm. I seriously, I don't know what I can. I know what I can't do, but that's the one you keep giving me. Folks, in all seriousness, very, very quickly here. Russ Dizdar, in his latest preemptor, had said this. July 22nd, I've asked a person, or I'm sorry, through the weeks, he's asked for a prayer for Northeast Pennsylvania, specifically the Northern Erie area. Focus your prayers there. We have some operations that are ongoing. And as of July 22nd, Russ asked an individual who could take him to the body of a young 3.5-year-old boy, who was abducted, Hispanic, who was allegedly abducted. And, they claim they, had murdered this young boy in a ritualistic fashion. Now, we do have DNA evidence. I'm not going to get into that, but we do have DNA evidence that if we can identify the young boy, we can match up, we can fill in, we can connect some dots. So I'm asking you, over the next several days, there's going to be a lot of intense activity up here, investigations with Russ Dizdar, his team. I'm asking for your prayers, your prayers. Focus your prayers on this area. Focus your prayers that the right people will be in the right places to find the right things so we can shut down one of the biggest human trafficking operations in the country. All right? please, I beg of you, ask you, we don't want money. We don't, prayers, prayers is what we need. There is a threat of grave harm that is going along with this, and please pray against that as well. I want to thank everyone. Don't forget the Patreon meeting on Sunday. This is, of course, Thursday. Tomorrow, this is going to be a show, obviously, but this weekend is going to be a busy weekend for us. And I thank you in advance for your prayers. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.